Okay, so let's get started with the talk. So, you know, I'll talk about the outreach program for women that we have been going on in GNOME really since 2006, and I got involved with it in 2009. Oh, were you going to introduce me or no? Okay. Oh, this is for questions later, right? Okay. And and also, you know, we were able to apply a lot of the lessons that we learned through doing the outreach program for women to run in our outreach program and Google Summer of Code in general. So first, GNOME joined Google Summer of Code in 2005, which was the first year that Google was doing Google Summer of Code. And I believe most people here know really well what Google Summer of Code is, but for those who don't, it's a program where Google pays students $5,000 for 3 months of summer work on different free software projects, and over 150 different free software organizations are participating, and GNOME has been fortunate to be participating every year since 2005. So, you know, there were no women applicants, and then in 2006, Hannah Wallach and Chris Ball noticed that, like, among 180 applications that GNOME received for Google Summer of Code, you know, 20 people were selected that year, but among 180, there were no women applicants. So they decided that they could do something about it, and they started the first GNOME Women's Summer Outreach Program. And it was, like, really trailblazing, because, like, that's when they had to field a lot of the skepticism in the community, where people said, you know, well, if women are not showing up, they might just not be interested, and that's how it is. And they had they received about 100 applications, and that really proved that women are in fact interested. And six women participated with GNOME for a 2 month internship that was, like, put together just the same year, right after the Google Summer of Code deadline. And I think the hope was that just kind of saying it once, that we are a community that is friendly to women, would encourage women to apply for Google Summer of Code in future years. But as you can see, you know, the numbers improved slightly, but we were, like, getting, like, this kind of binary code, 1010, like, you know, so, you know, maybe there was one woman in a particular year. And also, so that was, like, around the time when I started being involved with GNOME at Guadec in 2009, which was my second Guadec in Gran Canaria. So there were 5% women among attendees, and that actually meant 8 women. And the funny thing is that, like, when I, like, started looking into this, I started by saying, well, there are 4 women in that picture. But later, and there are 4 women in that picture, but later more women, like Karen Sandler or Sumana Hariharaswara, or, like, I learned that Sylvia was there. So more women came to me, and, like, I kind of learned that, like, you know, they were there too. So this number, you know, but maybe there were more, like, I also counted, like, 160 people in the GNOME picture. I don't know exactly how many people there were, but it was about 5%. There were 8 women at the conference. And the GNOME Foundation, like, really noticed that, and they approached me and asked me to organize the outreach program for women to revive the previous efforts that we had. So I was, like, really new to this type of activity, because I was a software engineer, and, you know, I just didn't want to really focus my attention on that before I was asked. And then, like, when I started thinking about it, and when I started going to other free software, like, women participation tracks, like, I went to a women participation panel that both Chris and Hannah were on, and, you know, I was just basically learning from that that, you know, we should be doing something about it. And basically, the first thing I started doing is encouraging women to apply for Google Summer of Code. So we created an outreach program for women, but I also said that, okay, like, we should make it an ongoing initiative. But we started by encouraging women to apply for Google Summer of Code. And in 2010, that year, like, we already had like mentors for the outreach program for women. And we kind of did a round of introductions on the GNOME women list. And, you know, so in the end, like, there were 6 applicants this year for Google Summer of Code, and only one participated. So again, like, not a very high turnout. So this is like when we realized we need to go back to doing the dedicated internships. And this is how, you know, this poster came about, and we went back to doing dedicated internships. And we were doing them twice a year, and we had 8 to 12 participants each round. And also, we decided to run summer runs in parallel with Google Summer of Code, as that allowed us to, you know, invite women to apply for both programs, and women who were coders and were students, they were able to participate in Google Summer of Code, and that's what really kicked up the number of women that we have in Google Summer of Code. And also, you know, we have more women in our community now, and last year it was 17% women at GWADEC, and this year it's 18%, and this year we've also like reached another milestone, which is we tripled the number of speakers who are women at GWADEC, the percentage. So we have 21% women speakers at GWADEC. So basically, more women are, you know, stepping up in our community, and that's wonderful. And, you know, the program seemed to work, and I'm going to talk more about why we think it's working. So while we were doing this in GNOME, it really put us like ahead of other free software projects. So like last year, Kevin Carilla did this study of newcomers who've joined 12 free software projects in the last 3 years. And for GNOME, 50% of respondents were women. And for other projects, 6% of respondents were women. And like this 0 to 15 range, like the highest concentration was like in Mozilla and Wikimedia, which was 15%, but that actually meant like 2 women replied from Wikimedia and 3 women replied from Mozilla. And in fact, like we had, GNOME had more women respondents than all other projects combined. So people in a wider free software community are of course noticing the disparity in women representation in the projects, and there is a lot of interest on behalf of like all of those projects to do something about it. And since we already had, I'd say, a winning formula, we started inviting other organizations to join us. And last summer, Free Software Conservancy, with a Twisted project, joined us in a kind of like scaling from 1 to 2, which, you know, is, people in computer science know is like the hardest problem. And then, you know, in the winter and then this summer, we've scaled from 2 to many. And that's, you can see that the GNOME Marshall artist girl is gone on the poster, and now we have more of a free software robot and the world as our logo. So this is the information about how much the program has grown. Right now we have 37 interns participating with 16 organizations, and that includes Wikimedia and Mozilla, and you know, now it includes Linux kernel, OpenMRS, lots of great projects. And you know, at the same time, like, I mean, the climate is changing, the culture is changing, and in Google Summer of Code, both Google team and us and the Ada initiative, the efforts that are being made to encourage more women to participate in free software are also being reflected in the fact that this year there's 9.5% of Google Summer of Code participants are women, and like that number has been climbing from really low numbers in earlier years. And like another example that I have is that Wikimedia has only ever had like one woman participate in Google Summer of Code before, and because they were participating in the outreach program for women this year, this summer, they have 7 out of about 20 of their Google Summer of Code participants this year are women. So the kind of experience that GNOME had with also increasing the number of women participating in Google Summer of Code is like, was basically replicated by Wikimedia. And here are the sponsors of this round. Bloomberg and Google are really big general sponsors. And then mostly other organizations are sponsoring internships where people are contributing to their organization specifically. But yeah, so really just, you know, we're learning and we're working together with a lot of great projects to advance women's participation in free software. And Red Hat is having me work on this, which is great, and Ropes and Grays, our legal partner who has helped us draft the contracts for everybody, which is something we decided to introduce this year as the program grew. And so why it works? First, like when people are applying, I mean, first things that we do is we address women directly, because this just seems to grab their attention, to let them know that unlike that what they might think, or unlike what they've observed around them, this is something that is really open to them and something that is welcoming for them. And we connect women with mentors, which ensures that like they have a one-on-one attention during the application process. And we really emphasize the application process, where we want to see how skilled somebody is, and also, you know, how much they're willing to learn. So we require a contribution during the application process for the application to be considered, because I think it's just like also really important to us that the people we bring in are qualified, and you know, both them and the community have a good experience. And also, we ask people to spread the word far and wide, and just from marketing perspective, making a sample tweet and a sample email available for people, you know, helps them spread the word for you. And then during their internship, the reason they need to be paid 3 months internships is because you know, women often feel quite behind when they're faced with technology where kind of the ethos is that, you know, the guys were born with a laptop attached to them and women weren't. So providing a focused opportunity to work on something for 3 months to really develop the experience, to basically catch up, is essential to jumpstart a women's participation in free software. And also we depart somewhat from like what's been typical for Google Summer of Code. Like Google Summer of Code messaging, at least originally, was like, prove you're a rock star, propose a project, you know, put your idea into reality. And you know, we actually learned that this doesn't quite work for Google Summer of Code either, so we kind of changed our approach to it as well. So we really try to emphasize projects that are manageable, that allow participants, like interns, to land tasks throughout the internship period, kind of have this gratification of landing something. And also, definitely, they have to be like agreed upon by the community and also relevant, so you kind of have to accept that the project plan might change throughout. So basically, we define the outreach program for women internships as more of a fellowship, which is more free-flowing, and we apply that to Google Summer of Code to the extent that that's possible within the Google Summer of Code framework. And another very important thing that we're doing with the internship is that we're requiring participants to blog every 2 weeks. And First, it increases the visibility of their work. And second, it lets the community know that women are participating, like women are part of the community. And I think that in GNOME, we had a very smooth transition to having a discourse in the project that just gradually changed to be more polite and to be aware of the fact that women are part of the conversation. Like, we really never had to like force that issue and say like, let's just like drop all the corny jokes now. But people became more sensitive over time because women's voices are visible in the community. And you know, you can contrast that, for example, with like Linux kernel, which right now is having like rampant discussions about what is the appropriate language to be used on mailing lists. And another thing that we're doing is that the internships are open to both non-coders and, I believe that was on a previous slide. Yes, yeah, so the program is open to both non-students and non-coders, which basically extends the field. You know, we definitely need to have outreach programs for designers and translators in general, but at least right now we're able to do that within the outreach program for women. And non-students is also very important because that basically allows women to transition into working on free software after their students. You know, and free software is notably has a low barrier to entry. You don't need to have a diploma to work on free software. So, you know, people from different walks of life can join free software and do join with the help of the outreach program for women. And the couple other points on this slide is that, you know, while some, like a woman might still be like the only woman in the project that she's working on, we have this community of interns where they can talk to each other and kind of network and have the support network of women who are participating in, of both men and women who are mentors in the program. And, you know, face-to-face communication like we're having here at Guadalupe is very, very important. And, you know, that's what gets people addicted. So we try to bring everybody to the events and encourage other organizations to do the same. So in fact, this round we've introduced a $500 allowance for travel for the outreach program for women interns. And that's actually something that Google Summer of Code provides as well for traveling to relevant events. And then after the program ends, you know, we of course encourage participants to stay involved, to continue working with their mentors. You know, the internships are over, but the mentorship continues. And we also encourage interns to present at conferences. And you know, many step up to have very active roles in our community. And also, like, it's important for us as organizers to understand, and I think it's important for both Outreach Program for Women and Google Summer of Code to understand that, you know, people have their own life and like the path, like, you know, it's great to have like a very varied path in life. So if somebody moved on to a different community or to just doing something entirely different, haven't been able to share our values with them and the values of free software and knowing that more people understand it and can carry that message is also very important. So that in itself is tremendous value and privilege of having, you know, being able to have those internships and providing those internship opportunities. And, you know, you might have seen some of those slides in my talk at the AGM yesterday, but here are some examples of how the alumni of the program are starting initiatives in their local areas and also going off to conferences talking about the program. So now I'd like to switch to like what did we learn and like how did we apply it to make GNOME better for everybody. So one of my favorite things that came out of this is that GNOME now has a mentors list that's basically mentors for everybody. And like, I think the informal mentorship is just so important, just like having this human touch. And like, I'm just like remembering like Flavia's, like, I don't know, for those who were in Flavia's talk, like she had this like slide of like a hand with a smiley face, and it's that human touch. And I think this is just so, so important. So people who can give you a hand, right? And GNOME now, like it started with like 9 mentors for the outreach program for women, people interested in the outreach program for women. And then we've just moved this list over to the GNOME Love Initiative. And right now it has 46 mentors, and I'd really encourage people to add themselves to it. And along with that, like, of course, we've been improving resources for everybody. So in particular, we've created a newcomers tutorial that's a step-by-step tutorial that takes somebody through the process of downloading a GNOME module, submitting a bug for GNOME, submitting a fix for it, closing a bug. So just really something that helps people get started, and about 48 people have gone through this in the last 10 months. And then actually, Outreach Room for Women participants have worked on developer tutorials in multiple languages like Quala and JavaScript and C and Python. And so we now have improved developer tutorials. And along with those, we have other initiatives that are not directly related to the Outreach Program for Women, but that are part of what we do to make newcomers have an easier way finding their way, starting with GNOME. So it's the GNOME Love Bugs and the Every Detail Matters initiative by designers, where they identify bugs and features that they definitely want to see fixed and implemented in GNOME. And those are great beginner to intermediate tasks. And ever since that we did for the Outreach Program for Women, we just kind of applied to Google Summer of Code as well. So before, we did not require Google Summer of Code applicants to engage with the project that they were applying to work on. During the application period, we just said, give us a link to some bug you solved in free software. And I think this engagement and like during the application process and seeing simple bugs, simple patches land, kind of makes it addictive and very encouraging and to the students, and prepares them to start to be ready to dive in into their project. So, as I mentioned at the AGM, we had like an exceptionally high rate of engagement with our Google Summer of Code students this year. And we also require everybody to blog. So it used to be a requirement that people had to send their updates to a mailing list, and then we realized that the mailing list is mostly just being read by other interns, and we realized that it's really good to get people to just blog on the planet and get the feedback from the community and just kind of also feel more integrated with the community. And again, we emphasize more manageable, agreed upon tasks instead of like grand idea projects. And we do things together, like for we treat both programs as our outreach program, both Google Summer of Code and Outreach Program for Women. So for example, we do a yearbook both last year and this year with all the interns. You're on the screen there. Yeah, and Emily is very special, and she and Sindhu have participated in both programs, and Meg, and Ivanka, more people, quite a few actually, and Tiffany. And so things you can do to help, like first just be a mentor, put yourself out there so that, somebody can get your help and become as awesome as you are. And also, you know, think about the beginners. How would a beginner approach your project? Like, have good resources for them, have step-by-step tutorials. You know, be ready to point to easy tasks. I think like we have too much of kind of scratch your own itch ethos where we're just saying, well, like, you're a newcomer, like, you know, what do you want to work on? Like, do you have a grand vision? And really, I just think that we need to do a better job in directing newcomers to small tasks that are definitely something that we want, so that we maximize how good their experience of landing that first patch is, how likely it is that we will help them and that patch will land because that's something that we want to see landed. So maximizing the good experience over, you know, prove you're a rock star is a good approach. And then for both the opportunities that we ask people to promote when, you know, we have the internships, and for any opportunities that you know about in your city, we are now collecting, information about women groups in different cities and different locales, as those two links. So both of them, if you go to the Outreach Program for Women, spread the word, you can find the other links there as well. And I think it's just, and the second link is basically like women in computer science groups in universities. So if there is an event and you're like, well, women are just not showing up, they're not interested, like, no, that's not the case. Just invite them. Invite them, like, make the extra effort to send information about your event to a women in technology list in the area. It really makes a difference. And also, another thing that we found, and like, you know, we really found this was Guadag, because, like, you know, last year we had as many women at the conference, but without us, like, actually encouraging women to supply talks and do talks, I think fewer would have been doing it this year, and that's something that conference organizers across free software have found, that when you typically approach a man and ask them, like, do you have an idea for a talk at the conference, they would, like, brainstorm 5 ideas with you. And when you approach a woman, she would say, well, I'm not the expert. And, like, you know, and the idea is that, like, you don't have to be the expert. You can be an expert. You know something, talk about it. And so making an extra effort to encourage women to say, yes, you have things to talk about, please go and talk about it at the conference, makes sense in promoting the visibility of women in a project. And, more specifically, also, if you're at a company that's not yet sponsoring the outreach program for women, please consider getting your company to sponsor an internship. And, you know, if you're donating money to the GNOME Foundation, you can possibly earmark them for the Outreach Program for Women, or basically GNOME Foundation sponsors Outreach Program for Women internships itself. So any donation to the GNOME Foundation would help with that. And I also would like to talk about a couple other initiatives that are making the free software space more welcoming to women, because, you know, we really need climate change, and I think what we're doing in GNOME is like a really big part of the climate change, but, you know, nobody can do it alone, and it's great to have different organizations approaching it from different angles, and I'd say that all three, like both GNOME Foundation, Open Hatch, and the ADA initiative are confronting a question of low participation of women in free software from three different angles. And so here it's just kind of funny that, like, this looks like a chicken and an egg, and we do have a bit of a chicken and an egg problem where, you know, few women are participating in free software because few women are participating in free software, and they don't think that the culture is friendly to women's participation. So those two organizations are trying to solve this problem from two different angles. OpenHatch is running workshops for students at universities, and they've probably ran like over a dozen workshops right now. I believe all of them were in the United States, but they have exceptional materials online for their workshops and write-ups from them. And they usually try to organize those workshops through the Women in Computer Science groups at the university. Like, they are open to all students, but they would make this extra effort to invite women. And basically, those are introduction to free software, like what is free software, what are the tools used for free software, and helping participants fix simple bugs across different projects. And ADA Initiative is approaching this from a different angle, where they are taking like a really big picture view of what do we need to do to make our culture friendlier to women. So they have created an anti-harassment policy, a version of which has been adopted by over 100 free software conferences, including GWADEC. They're running ADA camp events once or twice a year that bring women interested in open technology and culture together. And the last event had about 200 participants, and it also had an allies track for men to help kind of distill how men can be helpful and in promoting this cause. And you know, like I've been to two ADA camps, and it's a fantastic event because you see a lot of like-minded people. You see a lot of people like doing things to change the ratio, and also just doing awesome stuff in their projects. So more things that you can do to help with those organizations, which would also promote participation of women in free software, is create an OpenHatch profile. So like they also have an online component where I think GNOME should be better represented in the fact that we are a friendly project, and they have profiles for mentors on their site that I'd encourage people to create. And also they have fantastic materials, so you can host an OpenHatch workshop, and they have like also like those like online missions for like learning diff and batch and git, and all the like installation instructions that you can use during that workshop. If you are running or organizing a conference, you should seriously consider having an anti-harassment policy. And also, ADA Camp is a fantastic event, and they usually have a portion of it that's for women only, and a portion that's for men and women. So I'd encourage attending it, because that gives you a big picture of what's happening in free software, across all of free software, to make it more diverse. And I recently became an advisor for the ADA Initiative, so I definitely feel very passionate about their cause, because I think we need this big picture change. We need this ultimate advocate for women in free software that is doing something that's like very complementary to what the GNOME Foundation is doing. And they have just started their fundraising drive for this year. And it's basically an organization that's run by two people, and one of them was a kernel and file systems hacker at Red Hat who just had to quit her job and start this nonprofit. And they're now looking to hire a third person. And I think it's an essential organization for promoting the diversity in free software. So I would really encourage people to donate to it. And also OpenHatch is fantastic, because the kind of field work that they are doing is much needed. As a run an OpenHatch workshop in a university in your city, or donate to OpenHatch so that they can come to a university or invite them to come to your university. And so I've tentatively scheduled a Women in Tech BOF for 2 to 4 p.m. on Wednesday, so we can have more of a discussion there. And you know, we are purposefully leaving this like very open-ended. You know, we can just talk about anything. We can talk about the outreach program for women, but we also can talk just about, you know, challenges and like why we're doing anything in particular about women's participation in free software and in technology. Like what is the situation? Like why are we doing this, right? So there is a BOF, and thank you, and other questions.
Does anybody have?
Service Corps, since the program has grown so much from, mm-hmm. you know, like just us to so many other organizations this year, have you experienced like any growing pains, if you see what I mean?
Yes. So I think most of our growing pains have been technical, which you're like really well familiar with. Like we need an application system, and you know, I know that Fabiana and Andreas, and perhaps Andrea too, will get involved with helping us build an application system, because like we've been handling this over a mailing list, and it kind of worked when we had like 35 applicants for GNOME, but this year we had like over 100 applicants across the 16 organizations, and it became like completely unmanageable through a mailing list. So I think that's like our biggest growing pain, that we need an application system. But I think really like when organizations join us, like they have you know, basically like counterparts of me like there who are like really excited to participate and to run it. So it does have like this kind of distributed feel of Google Summer of Code, even though we do try to you know, provide more ideas about how to make this work, so that, you know, there are consistent requirements across all projects. And I haven't really mentioned it, but I had it on one of the slides, and it's like, you know, after Planet GNOME, it's my favorite blogging aggregator, or I don't know, I shouldn't really pick favorites between Planet GNOME and Women in Free Software Planet. I highly recommend everyone to like add it to their roster of what to read. It's extremely inspirational. So in addition to being included on the planets of their organizations, we ask the interns to be included on this planet.
Anybody? Any more questions?
Yeah.
Hey, Marina. How do you think we can improve on the, you know, the sticking around rate of participants? I mean, especially in Google Summer of Code, a lot of participants do not stick around after the program. Mm-hmm. And this is, the outreach program for women is more successful than Summer of Code to that extent, mm-hmm. as far as I know. Mm-hmm. But still, there are a certain number of participants that do not stick around. What do you think we can do as a community, members, mentors, all of us?
Right. So I think like we've been better about it for Google Summer of Code as well. So I definitely think that having very high standards during the selection process is very important, and having this like engagement period where the applicants already know their mentor and have already like shown what they're capable of during the application process is essential for us to be selecting the right candidates. As I mentioned, you know, I feel like the stickiness factor is good, but I feel like it's not like an ultimate measure of success in some ways, because I feel like, you know, it's normal that you know, people might develop other interests, or people might want to pursue other interests, you know. So I think it's just having, like, people have a good experience and, like, learn what it is, like, what free software is about, what GNOME is about in itself is extremely, extremely valuable. But besides that, like, you know, we should just, you know, engage with people, you know, engage before the, during the application process, engage during the internship, you know, bring people to Quaddock, you know. But, you know, like, I feel like, you know, people are here because, of course, you know, like, there are a lot of interns in this room, and of course we would like you to stick. We, you know, we're happy to have you here, but I also don't want anybody to feel the pressure to stick.
We have about 5 minutes left. Any other questions?
Have you ran into any challenges in terms of maybe mentor-mentoree interactions that, you know, that you had to overcome?
Well, I think it varies, and I mean, there were individual cases, which I would say, like, would usually be pretty individual cases where, I mean, you know, we had some, you know, like, there was the spectrum, right? Like, somebody might be, like, very much hands-off as a mentor, or somebody might be, you know, kind of, you know, we had, like, a situation where one person, like, inserted herself as a mentor, and, like, not in GNOME, but just as an example, like, and started, like, really given so much guidance that it was overwhelming. And like, it was like not the kind of experience we want people to have. Like, you know, we want it to be a fellowship where, you know, your accomplishments speak for themselves. But we don't want it to be a stressful situation. And so, you know, if somebody decided that they need to micromanage an intern, like, you know, like, we don't want that. You know, but we also don't want somebody to, like, really, like, not be present unless, like, the intern reaches out to them. So I think, like, it's a spectrum, and, you know, there is definitely a human factor in this, and, you know, sometimes interns, like, you know, have things of their own happening in life that, you know, might affect, like, you know, how they are doing with the program. So yeah, it's a human factor, and we just try to make ourselves available for both mentors and interns to talk to us if there are issues, and hopefully we try to help resolve them. And yeah, so basically. And also, like, mentors, like, having, you know, varied expectations. You know, I think, like, again, like, our approach is very much as a fellowship. You know, people can change direction. You know, just it's... like, the approach is more relaxed and, like, just, like, giving people the opportunity to develop themselves. And, you know, some mentors are too used to, like, very, like, rigid, like, Google Summer of Code structure, so we need to talk to them that this is not how we would like to see this.
Does anybody else have questions? We just about... So what's next? I mean, we've been expanding the program a lot. A lot of other organizations are participating. We have a lot of participants. What's next? What
just,
should
just
we try
hanging
for?
Hanging in there. No, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, I still feel like, you know, the program has, like, grown so much in this year that we just need to iterate and, like, on, like, you know, just being more mature with, like, an application system. And, you know, of course, you know, there are 150 or so free software organizations participating in Google Summer of Code. And, like, you know, the percentage of women participating was, across Google Summer of Code was, like, 9.5%, and percentage of women with organizations participating in both OPW and Google Summer of Code was more like 13.5%. I mean, basically next is that the world joins us, you know, we take over the world, you know. Yeah. Oh.
Now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, do you think there will be next? You know, she asked, "What's coming next?" And do you think there will be a moment when we won't need that next time to happen? Like, you know, like will we feel like we are integrated?
Right. So it's a great question, and I think it's a great question because I have an answer that I've thought about and I like for that question, and which is. You know, while internally we might feel that we're integrated and, you know, for all we know, we will reach 50% participation, right? And, you know, we will feel like that, you know, women and men feel equally comfortable in a community. But, you know, the world outside of us, like, has a lot of stereotypes, and those stereotypes are not going away easily. So externally, people might still, like, not know how open we are internally. So I think that we will need to be doing this for a long time.
Question. Mm-hmm. So in one of the slides,
one of the slides, you spoke about a contract in the outreach program for women. This wasn't there for us previously. What is this about, and where can we read more about it?
I'm just checking, like, are we running over? Oh, no, we have two more minutes. Okay, so it's a legal contract for that mentors and interns sign, because we just realized that, you know, we need to formalize it more. Like, this has been very much a grassroots effort for the GNOME Foundation, but as we have more actors in a legal sense in it, you know, we need to protect the GNOME Foundation. So, you know, it's things like, you know, that if a mentor is, you know, acting badly towards an intern, like, the intern is not going to sue the GNOME Foundation. It's that type of things, and that the, you know, that basically that it's a contract that protects the GNOME Foundation from things that are basically outside of our control, and it's basically something that, you know, Karen, being a lawyer, really helped us implement, and worked with the Rope and Gray, who did this for us.
So that is the law firm?
Yes, it's a law firm.
Yeah.
It's a law firm that did pro bono work for GNOME and does pro bono work for GNOME for other things.
Just to ask one last question. What exactly are the mentors agreeing to interns, you can put a contract because they have to be above 18. They can sue GNOME Foundation. That's all fine. You know, from a legal point of view, that makes
right.
complete sense. Mentors are already part of the GNOME Foundation. Why would they be such a threat? That they have to sign something.
So it's mentors across all those 16 organizations participating this year. So it's people we don't know. It's not just the GNOME Foundation. Members, it's people across many organizations, and I don't remember like the specifics of the text, but I mean some of it is basically just saying, you know, I'll, you know, be available and provide help to the intern. I mean, maybe there's like a reverse statement that, like, if, you know, intern you know, causes a problem for a mentor, they're not going to sue the GNOME Foundation. Like, it's basically, I mean, I'll probably have to talk to Karen about whether we can make those public, or, you know, I can show them to anybody interested. But basically, we just have, like, so many people involved with this now that we have, like, that we don't know that we needed to formalize this more.
Okay, that's good. Does anybody else have questions?
Yeah, I think it's
it's about time.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Thank you,
everybody.
Thank you so
come to the ball.